It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and Degenovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Oh, wow. Overnight, Vapegate got even bigger.
Which is awesome. I love talking about vaping. Is it making a difference, though? That's what I want to know. Listen, we're going to jump into the show right now. It is 9:05. It is time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
Here are the three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
Well, does Utah's medical marijuana mess have you losing confidence in Utah lawmakers? They're heading back to the Hill for a special session this coming Monday to fix, well, what they broke. We want to hear from you. Has your confidence in our leaders taken a hit thanks to the hot pot debacle or not?
First of all, they didn't break it. The lawyers did when they panicked and said, this is all illegal. We can't do anything about it. So let's blame the lawyers. Any chance we had to blame lawyers, let's make sure we do it. Now, the question is, are we losing confidence in Utah lawmakers? I've got a better question. Did you have it in the first place?
Countdown two.
There's a new twist in the cheerleader hazing story out of St. George that we talked about earlier this week. The dad accused of distributing the long version of the hazing incident that shows a semi-naked girl says the district's got it all wrong. We're going to hear his side.
I love the spin. It was a public service. It was a public service.
Launch countdown one.
Well, as I said, Vapegate growing overnight. New data I got my hands on shows kids in Salt Lake County don't need to buy their vape in a dark alley in the black market. No. It's a shocking number of corner grocery stores and convenience stores busted for illegally peddling tobacco products to underage kids.
Dave and Degenovic.
The launch.
Commence.
So you think your kids are getting their vape fix off the black market? Wrong. Why would they need to, Dave, when the corner grocery store is selling to underage kids?
The grocery store?
Or the gas station.
Really?
Or the convenience store down the block.
It's not the vape shops? I was so ready to blame the vape shops. I had it as a shady little speakeasy. You knock on the door three times. Kids lining up in the back alley trying to get their fix.
Open up. What's the password?
I thought that's how the kids were getting it. I thought the underage kids were flat out getting their vapes from the vape shop.
Wrong again, Dad. Let's break it down. Let me set the scene. So I got the data last night sent to me from the Salt Lake County Health Department. Ended up in my inbox. So I started going through it, Dave, and there's a huge spreadsheet in there. It included the 2018-2019 compliance checks at stores that sell tobacco products all across Salt Lake County. So well, here's what happens.
Compliance checks.
Yeah, they're going to go in and check and see if they're selling to underage kids. And here's how they do it. They take a compliance officer who's an adult who works for the county, and they take an underage kid who's also working for the county. Kid goes in undercover to try to buy a tobacco product. 117 stores busted for selling to minors.
Wow.
Illegally selling to minors. 117. Dave, that's 20%. That's a 20% failure rate of all the stores they tested.
That's huge. Because there's signs that say, we age ID always. Like no matter, and then they have this picture of a 97-year-old lady that's been smoking her whole life. Like, ha, 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 she's old. Yeah, we're going to ID her. So you're saying that 20% of the time, boom, failure.
Yep.
All right.
Failed. And then they often will go back and retest them again to see if they pass. But there's a surprising detail as I started to look more closely through the data this morning at 6 a.m. I found out that the worst offenders aren't the vape shops like Dave thought. They aren't the speakeasies of 2019.
Are you sure? So where do the kids go to get their vapes?
Sure, there's some vape stores that got busted in the mix on the spreadsheet that I was looking at this morning, but no. 70%, Dave, of all the places that failed, the test, grocery stores, gas stations, and convenience stores. So
wow.
Your kids can just walk around the corner and get this stuff. They don't need to go down a dark alley somewhere.
That's incredible. I would have thought 100% it was the vape shops because it's in their best interest. That's kind of the cool place that has all the bells and whistles, all the flavors, all the attachments and accessories.
The coils.
I still don't know what a coil is.
On top of that, we got more data from this time from the Granite School District. So not only did we get the data on the failed tests that Salt Lake County did across all of Salt Lake County Health Department went in and tested lots of stores to see if they were selling tobacco to underage kids. And 117 of them have been busted in the last year, year and a half or so. But the Granite School District also gave us some data as well. They've confiscated, so far this school year, 18 devices from across the school district from students. Last year, a total of 200, a little more than that, devices, vape devices confiscated from our kids. Let's get Ben Horsley. I can hear you breathing on the line there, Ben. You with us? From the ground.
Sorry, I'm a heavy breather.
Well, you're not vaping, right?
No, definitely not.
A nicotine rush right before you go on the show.
He's with the Granite School District. He's their spokesperson. 200 actually sounds low to me. Are teachers doing enough to get these devices out of the hands of kids who bring them to school?
Actually, when I reported that back to one of your producers, that was a few days ago. We're over 20 now through the school year. I would say that is definitely low. And the reason why is because that's just simply on tobacco vapes. This doesn't include the vapes that we've found with THC, which is a whole other classification, and I was unable to get that data for them.
Oh, really?
At the moment that he requested it. So I would dare say that we're over 300, and there's certain cases where we're not collecting the vape. Those are just the ones that we've collected. If an SRO picks up the vape or the violation comes in another place, sometimes those don't get reported into this system. That was just the data I was able to pull. I would easily surmise we're over 300 vapes in our school district alone, if not north of that even.
And I can absolutely see a teacher seeing this from a student, pulling them off to the side, having a discussion, and not necessarily confiscating it, but having a conversation. So do you think that with the devices that you've been able to snag from the kids, is this a real problem in school districts here in Utah?
Absolutely. And I would add abso-freaking-lutely. And I don't mean to be unprofessional, but this is the hallmark issue of the last few years. It's just blown us away off the charts, and our preventative measures are insufficient. We can't educate enough on this. Parents are clueless. I love parents, don't get me wrong. They do not understand that vapes are actual nicotine devices. In some instances, we find parents giving kids vapes because they think it's not harmful. So we are up to our elbows in vape devices. It's happening in classrooms. We had a combustible battery pack explode in a classroom 2 years ago. I mean, these are the kids are just obviously vaping in a number of places, and we get daily reports on this. It's a huge issue.
Ben, you heard the data, 117 stores busted across Salt Lake County by the Salt Lake County Health Department for selling to underage kids, just in the data that we got delivered to us from health officials last night. These are mostly grocery stores, convenience stores, and gas stations. The kids are leaving campus, aren't they, and just going down and buying this stuff illegally at the grocery store.
Absolutely. The access is there. And frankly, there was a change in the statute that decriminalized juvenile referrals for tobacco use on school property. It was HB 239 a few years ago, part of an overall juvenile justice reform package.
Mm-hmm.
Made it very difficult for schools to oppose this legislation. But one thing it did is it made it no longer a criminal referral to juvenile court for vaping on school property. Now, off school property, you can still go to court as a minor. But if you're on school property and you vape, the best we can do is give you some administrative penalties and you might get a citation. So the reality is more and more kids are actually coming onto school property because they know they're not going to get referred to court if they get busted. At worst, they might lose their new jewel and their all their accessories, and they'll have to go
down
to the local grocery store with the lack of enforcement and pick up a new one.
That law actually incentivized kids to bring their vaping onto school grounds?
Absolutely. If you are 1 foot off of school property and a police officer catches you, you got to go to court. If you're 1 foot on school property, no court referral.
Wow.
Ben Horsley with the Granite School District, thank you for enlightening us. What in the world were Utah lawmakers thinking? Don't we have a big enough problem with vaping as it is? And now we tell kids, hey, bring your vape products to school and you won't get in that big of trouble for it. Wow. Thanks, Ben. Hey, next, this kid's 18 years old. He now has the lungs of a 70-year-old. We've got more stories, more lung damage happening. Next, I want you to hear the twisted spin to defend those tasty flavors kids are inhaling.
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone. The KSL News Radio app. Dave and Dujanovic.
Mom, I can't breathe. Ugh. Details from patients who are landing in the hospital due to vaping. They're getting scarier and scarier and younger and younger.
Yeah, and we're telling the stories, Deb. This is my concern. Is it making any difference? Do people care? We talked to Andrew, our producer, and he said, you know what? My friends that vape, they don't care. They're not listening. I can't breathe. I think of the rule of threes. You can go 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air. Anyone that has had asthma or has a kid that has asthma, when they can't breathe, the panic that goes through is terrifying.
My lungs were that of a 70-year-old's.
To know that my son's lungs, 18 years old, healthy, an athlete, typical 18-year-old boy, to be laying in a bed and not being able to breathe. It's every parent's nightmare.
That was CNN. They were talking to Adam Hergenreder. That's a name. How about that? Hergenreder. He's 18 years old, and they posted the video of him trying to breathe. He is gasping in the hospital bed.
Broke my heart.
Trying to just get some air in there.
I was watching this video last night, listening to his story, and I thought, we have got to share this story, Dave, with our listeners, because when you see him just rolling around, almost with his face in the pillow, trying to gasp for air, it would break any mama's heart, any dad's heart. And what worries me about the recalls, in kind of an odd twist, and maybe it's the way my brain thinks, is there going to be a run at the vape stores by our kids trying to get their hands on this before they pull it off the shelves or before they announce an all-out ban?
People will ignore hurricanes. They will ignore the tornado warning. But as soon as you say you're going to take away their addiction, I'll tell you right now, if they said, we're getting rid of Diet Coke, I would buy it all up.
You would stock up on it. So we're hearing more and more about these horrible disease or horrible illnesses that people are developing, landing them in the hospital. Six people dead. I checked the death toll today. I'm serious. That's what it's come to. We're still at six associated with vaping. At least 450 people. And for the first time, I'm hearing a little more information on this from USA Today. Most of them are men and young men. Many of them athletes. They've been sickened, and it's associated with vaping. Let's go back to Adam's story. He's 18 years old. He's an athlete. He landed in the hospital. Here were his symptoms.
I had the shivers, and I couldn't control it, so I would just randomly convulge, and And it was really scary. I knew it wasn't a stroke, but it felt like that because I couldn't control myself.
Felt like a stroke. Had the shivers. It reminds me of what I've heard people going through heroin withdrawals. He's said it was from vaping. Doctors also said this, and this scared me. If you're the mom or the dad, you're thinking, do I take my kid to the hospital? Is it the flu? What is it? Doctors say it was just a matter of maybe days before he would have been dead.
If his mom had not brought him to the hospital within the next 2 to 3 days, his breathing could have worsened to the point that he could have died if he didn't seek medical care.
And when you were listening to that, were you listening to him gasping and trying to suck in that air? You could feel the panic. You could hear the panic in the mother's voice and in his own voice. What do I do? Yesterday, we talked to Dr. Abereg, who's been working on that study at the University of Utah to find the reason behind the illnesses, the science behind what is happening, and he's seen it firsthand here in Utah.
But many of the patients are just, it's worth pointing out that many of them are just downright miserable, writhing in bed and nauseated, can't eat, feel like they can't breathe. The one young man recently told us his chest felt like fire and ice. It's a really miserable illness to have to suffer through, and it's upsetting to have to watch it.
Debbie, the fact that the majority of these cases are young men, many of them athletes, I think that just proves to us and tells us that this was marketed as something that was safe, safer than nicotine. Hey, if you're looking at getting a little buzz, you want a little nicotine rush? This is way better than smoking. Even if you're an athlete, that's something that you're concerned about. That was a reason why a lot of athletes I knew never picked up smoking, because they were afraid it was going to hurt their performance. Well, if you bring in this other product as an alternative, why wouldn't you jump on it? You get the rush. You think that it's not going to affect your performance. And then you find out it was all a lie.
Shocking is that now vaping advocates are trying to come up with a spin, right? They're grasping at anything. They remind me of a cat in water, trying to get out of the problem. They are being very vocal about why these products should not be recalled. In fact, I wanted to play this clip for our listeners, Dave, president of the American Vaping Association. Yes, there is an American Vaping Association. His name's Gregory Conley. He took on Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who's a really smart guy. He's been around a long time. He got into it on CNN. Take a listen.
Hey, Mr. Conley, as you know, I mean, this is obviously a big topic, certainly among parents. It's what we talk about all the time. You talk about teen smoking going down. I've seen those numbers as well. One of the statistics, though, that I think you've also seen, and I want to show this to our viewers, is just the likelihood then of someone who starts using e-cigarettes, these kids using e-cigarettes, then transitioning to using combustible cigarettes. 30.7% versus people who don't use e-cigarettes going to combustibles, only 8%. Teenage cigarette use may be going down, but it seems like it would have been going down even more, Mr. Conley, without these e-cigarettes on the market, because they then go on to use real cigarettes.
Actually, no. If you have looked at the data, you would have found Kenneth Warner, David Abrams, other respected public health advocates have posted published articles in journals showing that not only did smoking decrease as experimentation with vaping took off, but we saw record-breaking declines in teen smoking. Teen smoking would not be as low today if youth were not experimenting with vaping products.
Thank goodness for vaping, right? According to the American Vaping Association.
Yeah, and I think this is where the spin is in full, like 100 million miles an hour. I think kids stop smoking because they realize that it's going to kill them faster than global warming. It's burning up their lungs. Kids aren't avoiding cigarettes because of vaping. They're avoiding because they're smart. That's why they're stopping the cigarettes. And Debbie, I want to know, is any of this doing any good, folks? Is anyone convinced? Has anyone stopping vaping? Debbie and I have been talking about it a ton. Have you stopped? We want to hear from you.
We're not done yet, because there was a bombshell this morning that dropped on our laps before we walked into the studio. For the last month, vape juice has been banned from being sold in Utah. So why is vape juice still being sold in Utah? A live interview with a Utah lawmaker who says his law is being ignored.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
Big discussion on human trafficking.
And he talks about the news.
Bill doesn't meaningfully address the problem.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio. Dave and Dujanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Now there's a vape bombshell dropped on Dave and I this morning. About vape juice sales in Utah. They're officially banned since August 8th of this year, yet they're still for sale.
I had no idea vape juice was a thing.
I look like I make vape juice in a bathtub.
I literally didn't know vape juice was a thing until Pete Davidson joked about it on Saturday Night Live.
Let's set the scene about all that's happened about vaping. The developments over the last 48 hours have been massive. So I want to recap some of that before we get to our live interview with Representative Paul Ray, who says his law is being ignored and he's not going to take it anymore. We're going to get him on the line right now. It all started with Senator Mitt Romney, who first tweeted out a couple of days ago that he wanted the FDA to consider a recall. And then we had him live on the phone with us yesterday here on the Dave and Dujanovic show after he'd fired off a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar demanding more. And demanding a recall.
It does seem pretty obvious that the makers of these vaping products are targeting kids. They're putting packaging together that kids can take to school. They're putting flavors in place which are clearly focused on kids.
And then Azar responded, saying his agency will
require that any flavored e-cigarette products, not including tobacco flavor, be removed from the market until they apply for and secure approval under the pre-marketing tobacco authorities at the Food and Drug Administration under the Tobacco Control Act.
We don't know what a federal recall is going to look like yet. At least, we don't think we know. Andrew Hull, our producer, is checking all the news wires right now to see if there's been a new announcement made, because they seem to be happening by the minute. But there is a possibility here, Dave, that Utah law will already take care of at least some of that. Because when I heard from Representative Paul Ray this morning when we were over there producing our show, got a text from him. He's like, I need to be on your show. This vape juice has been banned in Utah since August 8th of this year, and nobody's listening to my law. Representative Paul Ray on the line with us live. How frustrated are you?
Hi, Dave and Debbie. Very frustrated. Back in 2015, I passed House Bill 415, and part of that was an administrative rule. And in the administrative rule, we basically said, with an agreement, this was something that was brought to us by the vaping industry, that by August 2019, the only vape juice that could be sold in the state of Utah had to be FDA approved.
And is any vape juice FDA approved?
No, there is none.
So that seems pretty clear cut. Right? I mean, there's not a lot of interpretation here. If it's not FDA approved, you can't sell it.
Yeah, it's really clear. It's one paragraph, very simple.
Representative Paul Ray on the line with us right now to tell us, hey, vape juice shouldn't even be sold in Utah. It's not legal to be sold in Utah because of a 2015 law that he got passed. Nobody seems to know about it, Representative Ray. So are you going to go into all these stores and start pulling vape juice that is an FDA approved off the shelves yourself?
Well, I think what would happen is most of these stores would just get closed down, because most of them, I mean, like especially your specific vape shops, that's all they do is they sell vapes. And so what I've done is I've reached out to the health departments, because they're the ones that are in charge of enforcing the law. So I've talked to the State Department of Health, and I made a call out to the local health departments last night to get the word out. I know they're going to be talking about it today. So I think as the day progresses, we'll figure out what's going to happen on the enforcement of that law.
Do you think this is practical? Do you think this could actually happen? Because it doesn't seem like there is any wiggle room. None of this vape juice is FDA approved. Everybody's in violation, from grocery stores to vape shops to the little corner market. It seems like this would be almost impossible to enforce because everybody's selling it.
Well, and I think that's what you do is you know, I think we've got them in a pretty good situation to negotiate at this point. You know, now let's talk about agreeing to a flavor ban. Let's agree to the tax that we've been trying to do. You know, back in 2012, 2013, I started saying these are going to start killing people. You know, back in as a matter of fact, Alex Cabrera, he and I, he approached me yesterday, say, I remember back in 2014, I was sitting in your living room interviewing you about vapes, and you said that within 10 years, they're going to start killing people. And we're close to that point. So there's no more room for negotiations. I think we've got a good situation in Utah, and we can certainly use that to our favor.
Representative Paul Ray on the line with us live talking about vape juice being illegal and illegally sold now here in the state of Utah, because as of August 8th of 2019, this year, his 2015 law kicked in. And vape stores and other stores that are selling vape juice are doing so illegally, according to Representative Paul Ray. So I want to know, are you going to be out and about over the next several days shutting these vape stores down?
Yeah, so obviously the authority goes to the health departments, and I should hopefully have a conference call with them today. Because my theory is, yes, we should be going in and saying, okay, cease and desist until we, you know, figure either we do something a little bit differently. We do have a special session coming up Monday, maybe a little bit too late. Or what are we going to do in the session? They could do an emergency rule to delay that. But why? We have people dying. We have people in the hospital. There's no reason to delay. We're probably one of the best states in the nation situation-wise because we do have the ban on them.
Representative Ray, when I first heard about this, my mind immediately went to black market, you know, bathtub vape juice guy that is doing it on his side. You're saying it's not just the black market stuff. We're talking about all vape juice.
We are, Dave. And the reason being is it's the lipid cells that are in the vitamin E. So you have the lipid molecules that actually collect in the lung. And oils in the lung are very, very dangerous. That's why if you ingest a poison that's an oil base, like a petroleum, you don't induce vomiting because if it goes into the lungs, then it could cause death. And what you're doing is you're vaping that oil into your lung, and that's what's shutting down the lungs of these people that are in the hospital.
Representative Paul Ray coming out strongly against the vape industry, going toe-to-toe with them, already threatening right now to shut down vape stores or anybody selling vape juice across Utah because he says they're doing so illegally under a 2015 law that he had passed. Representative Ray, I'm looking at a press release you sent out yesterday where you also announced that you had had purchased vape juice off of shelves across Salt Lake County from different vape shops, and you then took them to a lab to have those samples tested, and you found that 84% of the products purchased tested positive for opioids and other illegal drugs. What in the world are you doing out there? You're like a one-man vape band show here.
You know, I've seen the negative impacts of what we're going to have. I mean, it only makes sense if you're vaping formaldehyde, glycerin, those kinds of things. You're going to have lung damage. You're going to have cancer issues, and so really, I've been working on this for many years. None of this is new to me, and none of it surprises me. And on those tests, just to be fair, too, is these were the initial tests in my laboratory. You know, there could be some false positives. We've not gone back to verify that yet. I am working with the DEA and some other people, and we'll be going and doing additional testing to verify those.
Representative Paul Ray, thank you so much for joining us. Debbie, I am fascinated by this. I am fascinated. We have to reach out to the health department and find out, is this the next step? How do you respond to this? Because it's one thing to turn a blind eye, but if you've got a representative up on the hill that is shouting from the rooftops that it is illegal to sell vape juice in Utah, that is every vapor, every vape shop, every grocery store, everybody's involved. What is the health department going to do about it? We'll give them a call right now.
Oh, I want to be the first reporter on the scene, Representative Ray, when you start chaining up vape shops. Promise me I'll get the first text. Now, for months, we've been reporting on the murder of University of Utah student Lauren McCluskey. Such a tragedy. We've known her killer borrowed the gun, but we didn't know all of the details of that crazy trail that gun took to get to him. We do now. We're going to get a live interview next with the U.S. Attorney for the District of Utah. He's waiting on the phone. We're going to talk to him about it.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news with Dave and Debbie.
I put your Social Security number on a billboard.
It would change nothing.
News at 5, talk of 9 on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.